Hey, Linda. Hi, Heather. Hi, Sharon.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa. Hey, Kelsey. Hi, Rose. Hi, Anika. Hi, Michelle. Hey, Stephanie. All right. Trish. Hi, Sonia. Hi, Raka. Give everyone else the moment.
Hey Joanna, just fishing for the link for the call here. I saw some post, I don't even know if it's recent, where you talked about a 17 mile an hour bike ride, mostly downhill. I was thinking that's exactly my kind of bike ride.
What is exactly my kind of bike ride too?
Get a ride to the top.
We did. We took a ride to the top and then we rode all the way down.
There we go. There we go. Yeah.
I do just highly recommend. It's called the Virginia Creeper, and I highly recommend it for anyone that is able to ride a bike. It's a beautiful experience and incredibly pleasurable and very metaphorical, as you're saying.
The problem is I'd have to ride my bike all the way from Seattle to the start of it.
Right. So, well, you can rent a bike there. We did
Oh,
that
okay. All right.
too.
That's good problem solving. You must be a coach.
Right. Let's get started. Let's take a moment and get centered and settled and grounded. So, if you would like to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. Or keep your eyes open but go inward. And take some moments to find yourself. To call yourself back home. To remember your body. And watch as you breathe. Using the breath to bring you back to your body. Using your breath to remind you of the wisdom that you hold in all moments. Placing a hand on your heart and honoring your heart. Honoring all that you hold in your heart, all of it, whether you're conscious of it or not. And honoring yourself for showing up today. And together we'll take a nice deep breath in And exhale everything out with a sigh. Allowing your eyes to flutter open. Bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. All right. So we have a practicum today, a little bit different than our listening practicum, our questioning practicum, et cetera. I'll be doing some model coaching today, and we'll be breaking it down, and we'll be looking specifically at, you know, this thing that we've been looking at over the last couple of sessions, which is the befriend your fear process. So we'll do that. We'll move into that in a few minutes. But before we do, a couple of pieces. First of all, just want to remind you that we have our bonus Q&A call tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern for those of you that want to be there or are able to be there. It's 30 minutes of blueprinting for your business and your business plan, sprinkled in with a little bit of something that I'll bring to that as well. Hopefully a little bit of wisdom to get us inspired. And then 60 minutes of bringing forward any questions that you have on your marketing, on your messaging, on your business structure, on client case studies, inner pieces. It's really an opportunity for you to just bring forward whatever it is that you need to move yourself forward in the ways that you'd like. Last month, we were just us, which was very nice. Moving forward, we'll also have some other people from other cycles of sacred depths with us. So you'll see some new faces, and that will also be really nice. I think you'll see some new faces as well. All right. So I'd love to hear what's been resonating for you by way of everything we've been looking at these last weeks when it comes to fear. So what's been resonating for you either personally as you've been working with your fears or tracking your fears, looking at your perspectives on your fears, or what's been resonating for you, or what have you been noticing if you've been working on that with clients, or even just philosophically, you know, as we've kind of been in this material, what have you seen? What have you noticed? Julia saying they're normal and to be expected. I don't have to be afraid or subject to them. Elijah.
Hi, thank you. This is, I love this subject so much. And this has come up specifically with one client who, one of the big things he wants to work on is confidence. And honestly, I've been meaning to post this in the book and in the group, and I haven't had a chance because it's made me think about what is confidence so much. And I've really been examining that. And what I've started to do is look at it through the lens of fear. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking at what are the areas he doesn't feel confident in, and in those areas, what are you afraid of? And it's been helpful to start shifting things. I love that
as kind of really bringing fear into that conversation when there's a lack of confidence or gap in confidence or some, you know, obstacles there, and to kind of connect into it by looking at the fear pieces first.
Yeah, it's been helpful. And I'm going to post on this in the group just so you all know. Anybody, can you guys look out for it? Because I have some questions around it. I'd love a discussion about it. So I just want to note that.
That would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa saying in the chat, sometimes I don't have fear in my mind, but I do have fear in my body. I'm so glad that you're bringing that up. It's such an important piece. We can't just befriend our fear through thinking it. You know, the cognitive level, very important. And that's elements of the process. But as we'll kind of get into today and really see even more today, and we looked at this kind of hypothetically as we've been preparing for today, is that you want to not only activate all four levels of learning and processing when you're befriending fear, but there is a nervous system and regulation element to fear. And part of befriending fear is also working with the body, not just to answer the questions and understand why it's there. And, you know, like we get so much information from that dialogue. That's one level of the work. But the other level of the work is that when we go into the body and make that space and that sacred container to be with the fear in the body, it helps create more regulation around it for ourselves. It helps create endurance in our body to have that resilience to be with the fear, and also, how do I articulate it? Like for it not to dysregulate us so much. So yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing that in. Sonia's saying to have the conversation about fear once a month to keep her out of her story. Yeah, I feel like many of us could use that. Anyone else? Anything else that wants to be shared? Heather's saying in the chat, thankful for the fears, even the false fire alarms. Yes. Yes, and seeing the difference between being friends with the fears versus the power struggle with the fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the relationship, just like any relationship, right? Just like we were gonna create a new friendship, whatever it is, it takes persistence and consistency. It's not a once and done. It's about continuing to come to the fear, continuing to be with it, continuing to dialogue with it, continuing to relate to it, not create the regulation over time as well. Okay. So as we go in to the model coaching today, I want to just review very briefly the six steps of the Befriend Your Fear process that we looked at last week. And also to say, it's kind of, hopefully we'll hit all of the steps today, but sometimes it's a little hard to manufacture on the spot. You know, we already know that like we have fear on our minds. I'm not going to do so much the step one of supporting the client to become aware of the fears, but you know, because we're going in with all of the context that we're going in. So whoever ends up being our volunteer client will probably be aware that there's a fear of some kind there, right? But step one is becoming aware of the fear, supporting the client to create awareness that there's fear there. Step two is supporting the client to understand a little bit more of the context of the fear, how it shows up in their lives, for example. What happens for them? What are some of the reactions, the responses when the fear is up, when the fear is active? Step three, and this is a place where we know we can get to even in like it manufactured today, honoring, engaging, and holding space for the fear. This is really the heart of the Befriend Your Fear process. This is the dialoguing with the fear. Step 4, which can sometimes come along with step 3 or later on, is supporting the client to connect to spirit in all of this, to find higher wisdom, to find information that they can trust, something that's bigger than their ego in all of this. Step 5, through doing the work of befriending and dialoguing and honoring and engaging, holding space for your client to then, after having done all of that, to choose an aligned path, right? Now, oftentimes the hope is that they'll choose to do the thing that they are scared of, right? Like that process will help them take the next steps. But what we want to remember as practitioners is that our clients, after doing all of that work, may actually decide, you know what? I'm not ready to take the next step. Like the aligned next step for me is not to do the video, is not to go on the dating site, is not to whatever. This is where the work that we're doing here in Sacred Depths diverges a little bit from traditional coaching, where all of the kind of focus and intention is set on like getting to the results no matter what. Of course, we want to co-create results with our clients, but in this process of befriending the fear that we're talking about, we also honor when a client, after doing the work, may not yet be ready or may decide there's a different action that they want to take. This isn't this step of choosing an aligned path is not about being attached to outcome on the action that the client decides to take. It's about doing all of the work before and during to support your client to make an empowered decision about taking or not taking the action versus just not taking the action and feeling bad about it, or like it's out of their control. Does that make sense? It's an important piece in this. And then step 6 is really about supporting the client both in that session and then moving forward to do the persistent and consistent work of continuing to befriend the fear and or continuing to take action forward in whatever aligned path is right for them. So as I do the model coaching today, hopefully I'll hit all of these points. I'm not perfect, so you know, we'll see, but we'll point out where I do and where I don't. I want you to be looking for the steps. As you listen, I wanna invite you to also be looking and listening for any of the foundational skills that we've looked at up until getting to befriend your fear, right? Because it's like there's the befriend your fear process, but we want to use all of our listening skills when we're supporting our clients through fear, all of our questioning skills, all of our creating awareness skills, our visioning skills, our strategizing skills, right? All of that comes into play as we're holding space for this process. So look for those skills, note them. We can talk about them when we do the breakdown. And then when we're in step 3, when supporting our volunteer client to dialogue with their fear, to honor, engage, and hold space with their fear, be looking for some other pieces as well. So number 1, my attitude towards the fear, right? We spent a bit of time talking about this in our first Befriend Your Fear call, right? How important energy follows energy and how important our perspective as practitioners is, our perspective on fear as practitioners is, right? We're leading. If we're like, this is an amazing thing to get to know better, there's so much richness here, right? So note the ways That I'm holding energy in terms of the fear itself or the perspective towards the fear itself. Make note of how I'm guiding the client to access all four levels of learning and processing: cognitive, heart, spirit, body. See if you can note the difference, and we can talk about this afterwards, between visualizing, hearing wisdom, and then feeling into the fear or what it feels like in the body. So see if you note the difference in how I'm kind of using or activating the difference between seeing, visualizing, hearing, and feeling. And remember, I think I shared in one of our last two calls, I just recently learned that there is a, I don't know if it's a condition, but there's such a thing as aphantasia, which is an inability. Some people have an inability to picture something in their mind's eye. Like not even fears or like bigger, you know, heavier things. Like even if you say, close your eyes and see a box, right? So there is a condition where some people, so if you may come across a client who, because of aphantasia or whatever other reason, is having trouble visualizing, that's okay, right? There are ways around it, through hearing, through sensing, through feeling. There can be a dialogue. There can totally be a step three, even if they can't see it, visualize it. As you're observing, take note also of the pace of the conversation, the pace of the dialoguing. See what there is to learn from that or questions from that. Take note of how much I'm leading versus how much the client is leading. As I ask questions in the dialogue process, note why I'm asking each of the questions, why you sense I'm right. Because like I've said earlier, I wish it's a science and I can tell you, ask this, ask this, ask this, ask this, right? But human beings are messy and unique. Always coach the what based on the who. We want to use our questioning skills in all of this. And then another thing to note, you know, these, and all of these are just suggestions as you observe, is back to this idea of part of the power of this process of creating a really sacred container for a client to come face to face with their fear, to honor and engage and hold space for their fear. Part of the purpose is to support them in becoming more comfortable with the discomfort, right? So note how or if that's at play as well. And then of course, note anything else that your curiosity shows you. Okay. So who would like to volunteer? And raise your hand in the chat.
Lisa's waving her hand.
Who is? I didn't hear.
Lisa. Lisa's waving
her hand. Oh, Lisa. Okay, great. You there, Lisa?
I'm here.
Awesome. Okay. How are you doing today?
It's a rough day. It's a good day to be coached.
Good. Good. I'm glad that we have our call today then. okay, so like I said, you know, it's a little funny to manufacture this process. Like obviously when we coach, we'll see as it's needed. And hopefully what you bring forward, we'll be able to kind of move into it. But why don't you share with us, what is it that you'd like to receive today?
What would I like to receive? I would like to receive peace of mind, if that is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us more about that. What's going on?
Okay, so I just got back from a family vacation. Hadn't all been together in about a year, but we were all vaccinated. And two of us were breakthrough cases of COVID. And so I am recovering from COVID. And it's been really rough. And I'm terrified about what's going on in my brain and in my body. And it's very real.
Yeah. And tell us about some of the fears. What are you terrified of?
So a lot of the symptoms, they don't really talk about so much. And I guess they happen to women more than men. And they don't know a lot of the, they don't know a lot yet about breakthrough cases. It's so new. But there's a lot of cognitive problems. I think that I get, and again, I'm just getting over it. I'm like day 12. I'm not contagious or anything, but I'm technically well, but not well. So my brain gets very tired. I have to lie down a few times a day and I can't really concentrate very well. And I'm going through very strong emotions. Like I'll be super depressed and then super joyful and then super angry. And I'm just observing it all and trying to be kind of calm. But then this morning I realized that what I said before, up here, I know I'm going to be fine, but my body doesn't know that. My body's terrified. And I think it's making things worse for me.
Yeah. That makes so much sense. It's like that, that sheer terror in the body can create some of the cognitive pieces too, 100%. And breakthrough case means that even though you were vaccinated, the...
And also the person, my daughter, was vaccinated as well. And she arrived not feeling well. So I kissed her forehead and rubbed her head. And that's how I got COVID after being one of the most careful people I know for a year and a half. There's some irony. There's also a little bit of like, this is so not fair, like coming up.
Yeah, yeah, that makes so much sense. Okay, so kind of pause on the coaching for a moment. So usually with Befriend Your Fear, I can say it's tried and trusted of like, there's a goal that you have that you're trying to get done. There's fear involved, which is holding you back. And we move through the process. What you're bringing forward is a little bit different than that. It's a kind of like an anxiety around, you know, a deep, deep fear and anxiety around a situation that has happened, not necessarily like holding you back from a goal, you know, like a goal that you would have. We could probably make the case one way or another, but you know, in general, it's not like the, okay, there's resistance and there's fear and all of that. I'm willing to try to see if it can apply in this situation too.
I'm happy to go anywhere you want to go. Like when you were talking and I thought to myself, well, a lot of people have fears that there isn't always a choice. And I was thinking, what about health things? And then I thought, okay, let's try this and let's see where it goes. So I'm happy to be a guinea pig on this.
Yeah, I love that. And so you just said fear that there isn't a choice. Mm-hmm. So talk more about that.
Well, I was thinking when you were talking before how, you know, helping a client get to this point of knowing they have a choice. And I thought to myself, well, I'm in a fear place right now. And perhaps the choice is that I could talk myself out of the fear and I can befriend my fears. But I don't know that I have too many actions that I can do in my life right now to really substantially change this. And so that feels a little bit stuck.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. I think the choice is on the inner level, but it's not necessarily, I mean, you can go and look for actions like take this remedy or, you know, but that's not really the.
No.
Yeah.
But the recognition this morning that the fear was making things worse, even though I wasn't aware of it, was huge.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have known that if it hadn't been years of getting to know my fears and getting to know my body and understanding how my brain worked. And so I was very grateful for those experiences in the past that gave me that wisdom this morning.
Yeah, 100%. And and tell me if I'm, you know, reflecting this correctly, like what I'm really hearing in that is that there are a lot of things in the situation that you're in right now, there's a lot of things that you don't have choice in, but where you do really have choice is in your perspective and how you approach all of this, is in how you hold all of this, and is in how much you allow, you know, how well you can kind of set boundaries in terms of the thinking around it. Am I getting all of that right?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I'm a person that I've never experienced something like this. I've had to cancel, you know, client meetings. I've had to cancel other things. And it's so out of my realm of experience and possibility and who I am that it's pushing me to a whole new level way of thinking about self-care, you know, which I'm sure you can all relate to, that, you know, taking care of oneself can be different, you know, whatever. I'm not very coherent right now, but it has been really pushing me to unravel some of my own boundaries around things.
Yeah. Okay, good. So again, I'm not 100% sure I would necessarily choose the befriend your fear process for what you're bringing forward, but let's see. Couple of questions. So first is, where else do you know this kind of dynamic of feeling like you don't have a choice? Or even like there isn't so much of that outside choice like you were talking about, but there is an inner choice and struggling with that inner choice.
I'm definitely feeling a lot of patterns coming up for me in a lot of areas that are surfacing, like weird old shit's coming up for me that is like really kind of fascinating right now. So I'm seeing lots of other patterns emerge. I think that the feeling that I don't have a choice, I don't know. It's not in my DNA. Like that's just not who I am. And so I think that's part of my frustration. Like, I'm like, I can get through anything. I can find a creative solution. I can work through this.
Yeah.
But befriending my fears is really critical in this process. So don't think it's not. Like it's very, very, very important, I think, in my getting better.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go into the dialogue and see what's there. Is it okay to close your eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So you can close your eyes and feel into your body. And just really be with yourself and your body and start to note where the fear is living right now inside of your body.
It's right here.
So right in the front of your forehead. Okay, beautiful, good. You're doing really well. So really connect in with that feeling of fear that's right in the front of your forehead. And you can go in there with a flashlight and a magnifying glass and take a look around and see what the fear looks like inside of you. How is it showing up?
It's bright orange.
Okay, good. And does it have a shape?
No, but it's flashing. It's like, it's going from orange to green.
Ah, okay, good. So it's flashing, kind of like a light, mm-hmm. flashing bright orange to green.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So connect as much as you can with that energy of flashing orange and green and orange and green. What does that feel like?
Kind of like a strobe light.
Yeah. And what does that feel like?
Like too much stimulation. It's like it's flashing and it's distressing and disturbing. And
yeah. Yeah. Good. I know it may not be so comfortable to connect with that disturbing feeling, but as best as you can, just continue to be with it. Hold space for it. And ask the fear beyond this getting COVID, if it were to go back even farther, what event or series of events brought this disturbing strobe light feeling into existence first?
So many years ago, when I crashed and burned in my tech career, I went into a very long period of some health issues, which were what ultimately changed my course. But it was very scary, and it lasted a really long time.
Yeah. And how old were you then?
31.
Good. You're doing really well. So continue to really connect in with that fear and ask the fear to name itself. What is it? What is it a fear of? Thing that came about when you were 31.
It's the fear of not being able to function at 100%. The fear of not being okay.
Do you know what it means by not being okay?
Weak.
Mm.
Yeah. Incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Helpless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the fear of being weak, incompetent, and hopeless.
Helpless, not hopeless.
Helpless.
Oh, helpless. Helpless.
Yeah, weak, incompetent, and helpless. Good. You're doing really well. Just continue to connect in with that energy and ask it if there was an event or series of events even before the age of 31 that brought it into being, this fear of being weak, incompetent, helpless.
There's only one event that comes into my mind, and it doesn't feel related, but maybe it's related.
Yeah, don't judge it, just share.
I just have this image of getting my report card. I was young, and I think I had a B on it. I must have been younger than that, though, even. And I had to go see my father, and I was going to cry because that's what I would do if I felt like I did something not well enough. And I remember looking up at the ceiling and telling myself, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. He'll think you're weak. And that just comes back to me.
Beautiful. Okay, good. So that might be at play here too. Just let that be. It's coming up, right? Take a deep breath and continue to connect with this energy in your forehead, with this fear of being weak, incompetent, and helpless. And ask it what purpose it served in your life.
It served... It served to protect me because I had to be emotionally independent at a very young age. And I put up, I called it my suit of armor to protect me, to show the world that I was strong and I was capable and that I was not weak, because that was not okay.
It's really protected you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really be with that, breathe that in. Let's feel into that. And how does it feel as you connect in with this idea that it's protected you?
It feels strange because I've spent the last 20 years trying to take off the armor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it feels very vulnerable, raw.
Where are you feeling that vulnerability?
I'm still in my face. I'm feeling everything in my face, like my cheeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Good. Just allow yourself to lean into that. Feel the vulnerability. Feel the rawness. Hold space for it. And ask the fear from its highest wisdom, what is it that it wants you to know?
It's okay to not be okay.
Take a moment and take that in. Really breathe that in. It's okay to not be okay. Where do you feel that take root inside of you?
I think in down here, the base of my throat.
Yeah, good. You're doing really well. So just continue to lean in and focus on that place in your throat where you hold this truth of it's okay to not be okay. And what does that feel like in your throat?
It feels okay in my throat, but my face is like, whoa.
Yeah. What's the whoa?
We don't know if we agree with the throat.
Yeah. Good. So continue to be with that and ask your throat what it wants your face to know, what it wants the fear to know, really. Ask this truth that you know in your throat, what it wants the fear to know.
That there is not weakness in not being okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allow that to settle in. There is not weakness in not being okay. And that's kind of like a negative, there is not. Can we put that into a there is?
I'm not going to say there's strength in it, but because that feels too strong to me, but there is, I don't know, I'm struggling with that.
Yeah, and it's okay. I don't want you to think it if it didn't come through. Yeah. So there is not weakness.
It's more like there's no shame.
There's no shame in not being okay.
Yeah.
So there is not weakness in not being okay. There is no shame in being okay.
I feel like there's a part of me that feels like I did something wrong and I got this. And I knew in my mind that I didn't.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me in my body that is fighting that.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. You're doing really well. Like we're chipping away here. So there's no shame. There's no shame. Even if you're not feeling that in all of your body, where are you feeling this? There's no shame.
My chest.
Yeah. So breathe into your chest. And what does that look like in your chest? That knowing. You may or may not see something, but I'm just wondering.
It's more of a color than anything, like a kind of grayish, yellowish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Good. So continue to be with that feeling in your chest. There's no shame. Is there anything else that it wants you to know right now?
It wants me to know I'm healthy and strong and I'm going to be fine.
Yeah. Beautiful. Good. So take that in. You're healthy. You're strong. You're going to be fine. Really breathe that in. Really be with that knowing. And back up to your forehead for a moment. Is it still flashing orange and green? What does it look like in there?
It's all warm. It's all this gray, yellow, calm. It feels very calm though.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Really well done. So just breathe into all of that. Make a body memory of this feeling. Really make a body memory of it. And last thing to ask your body right now, ask this grayish feeling. In those moments where you might go into some fear, what would it like for you to do?
Just relax and breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, simple but powerful. Good. Anything else that it wants you to know right now?
I feel so grateful that I have so many loving, caring people in my life and that they want to be loving and caring. I don't have to not let them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to let them.
Yeah.
I don't know in the past if I have. And that feels really good. You know, not to have to be alone in my suffering.
I get chills when you say that. It almost feels like those people, like they don't see the shame at all. They see you in your competence and in your strength, no matter what. Beautiful, good. Take that in. Really make a body memory of that feeling and that truth. And then when you're ready, you can allow your eyes to flutter open.
That was ridiculously helpful.
Good. You did so well. Really well done. So how was that helpful? What are you seeing? What's, I know there was so much in all of it, but what's really
helpful? It was so, so helpful because it was, it was just putting it into a framework, a familiar framework that felt very safe. And that felt very comforting in a weird way of just being with it and allowing it to be there and taking it back to former times. I think you hit the nail on the head, you know, for me that I've gone into some bad health places a long time ago and they took a really long time to get out of. And I think that's what's scaring me so much. And just the awareness of that is so huge.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. So you can see it's like not so much this thing that you're in right now, right? But it's those old fears.
Mm-hmm. Those old experiences. And this is not that. This is different.
Yes, this is not that. Yeah. Beautiful. So if there were action, inner or outer actions that you would want to take based on all of this work, where are you feeling led?
I have been meditating quite a bit and I'm going to continue that. And recognizing that there's more to the anxiety component that I am mentally aware of. You know, it's in my body and I have to be really respectful of what's going on in my body and tune into that in a different way than I would tune into my mind.
Yeah, yes, 100%. And then just to remind you of one of the pieces that came through in the dialogue is when you do go into the fear, and this is what you're speaking to, but just say like to stop and breathe, right? To slow it down and breathe. And what I would also toss if it resonates is to do some journaling into these truths that came through in your throat and chest. You know, so to start a journaling prompt with there's no shame in not being okay, to start a journaling prompt with, you know, what I forget what you said, I should have taken notes, but I am healthy. And there's something else, but really just like I am healthy and well, right? And so to lean more into that as well. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're so, so welcome. Thank you for being willing to be our volunteer and be vulnerable and share so much with us. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all like, I don't know, clapping doesn't seem right, but just like, yay for Lisa for being our volunteer.
I just want to say one thing. I was feeling really bad that I was like, bringing in this topic that wasn't relating to like fear around coaching. And so I appreciate you all so much for giving me this space today because it was just so profound for me. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, so you can, I know you probably already have your practitioner hat on, but you can put your full practitioner hat on while still staying with all of the feelings in your body and, you know, continue to be with that. But we'll all put our practitioner hats on. Yeah, and Sharon is saying you look different than when you began. And I agree with that 100%. All right. So what did you all observe? What would you like to pull out? What would you like to note? What would you like to ask in terms of choices that I made? Don't be shy. Let's have a very rich discussion about this, even if it seems obvious. Want to hear what you're seeing, what you noticed, what you learned. etc. Full way.
I think, I love the questions you're asking, Joanna, and I need to think about them more, but the thing that was coming up first, and I just wanted to express such appreciation, Lisa, for bringing this topic, like even if you were feeling hesitant about it, because I feel like it is on all of our minds, like what you're sharing is like on all of our minds and your experience of it and what you're going through. And it's on our clients, a lot of, what you're working with right now is so much of what I hear from my clients too. So I just wanted to express so much gratitude for you being courageous and sharing that and your process. And Joanna, thank you for coaching and I am really grateful that you surfaced this today. I don't wish you were going through this, but I'm really grateful that you surfaced that. So that's what I wanted to say.
I'm so glad you're bringing that into the conversation because it's true. Like we're, whatever we support our clients on is not separate from the world events that we've all experienced, you know, whether direct impact or not in the last year and a half. And we are all impacted. We are all to some extent traumatized by what has been going on in one way or another. And so it is part of our client work, 100%. Thank you. Rose.
Yes, first of all, it was really beautiful to witness. And I noticed that, Joanna, you very early on brought Lisa into the body. It was almost the whole thing. There was, you know, spirit and other things, but there was a somatic experience that you invited her to connect with almost immediately, it seems. And then throughout it, making references to that. I just love the make a body memory of this feeling, you know, to just begin to identify, because the body has so much so much data and information. And that's what I know all the way through that you referenced the body. So,
yeah, 100%. It is a somatic process. Like, as I said before, like, we can't really think our way out of fear. And anyway, we're not trying to get out of the fear, right? In the befriending, we're trying to befriend it, but it's very hard to just befriend it, fear in our minds. We do want to hit the different levels, and for sure, the body piece is so important for so many reasons, but one is because fear is related like to what's happening in our nervous system, and our nervous system isn't just in our brain, right? It's in our bodies. And so use it, you know, going into the body in general, and then this phrase, which I really like, make a body memory, right? So when we say, or when we give this prompt, you know, make a body memory as practitioners, remember that's a difference between feeling versus seeing or hearing, right? So I asked Lisa to see things, to hear things, but I also asked at different points, how does that feel, right? Make, and that's what we want to make the body memory of. Part of transformation, I believe, is not just thinking differently, but it's feeling differently. Good. Thank you, Rose. Elijah.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, I second and third everything that everybody's saying. This is so amazing. It's been really powerful to watch you do this. And I don't know if you remember, Joanna, but I've had the blessing to attend like your befriend your fear of money and then just befriend your fear workshops. And so what I'm really noticing, first of all, I just want to say is I'm just, you know, when we do this work, there's always more. And I just like repetition took in so much more. Yeah. And I just wanted to share some of the, you know, some of the thoughts and some of the questions that came up for me as you were going in. And again, thank you, Lisa, so much. Yeah, just really beautiful. And at first, at the very beginning of the conversation, I just kept having before you even took a side note, Joanna, to say, hey, this is slightly different, right, than what we normally do. I just kept having the thought, and I wanted to ask, like, you know, how is this fear holding you back? Like, how, and what is it holding you back from? So that was just a question I had. I also had the question, like, well, what would you like to be experiencing instead of fear around your health? Like, what's a different version of you that you want to step into? Just questions I had.
But you're going fast, so let's slow down, because okay. All of these are great, 100%, and like definitely more connect the dot pieces, yeah, that could have, like, even, you know, like strengthen things even more, right? I think I was like rushing a little bit, because like, are we gonna deal, is this gonna fit into the befriend your fear process? I don't know, but I love what you're sharing, right? So how is this holding you back? Right. And so that's step one, step two, right? More like understanding the fear, right? How is this holding you back? How is this? She spoke a little bit about how it's been impacting, right? But we could have spent some more time on that. And so she could really see. And then I love this question of like, so, you know, how would you like to approach it, or how would you like, and I can't remember now, Lisa, what you said your intention was, but like that was a little bit baked into the peace of mind, right? But to explore that a little bit more too, right? That's kind of like the goal that we're going for, is how do you want to feel around this?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that you got there. I mean, that's kind of baked into this process, right? Of like getting to that place.
But it's nice to have the like connect the dot questions for sure in the beginning. So those are great. Yeah. Was there another piece that you wanted to share?
Is that all right if I do share?
Yeah.
So then another thought, like what that again piqued my curiosity, Lisa, when you were speaking, you were talking about like, I've had to cancel client calls, I've had to lay down to rest, like all this stuff that's so different from who I am. And I just was like, oh, that's so interesting. And I was really curious about the voice, like the judgment that you have of yourself for having to cancel a client call because you're not feeling well. And I just was more curious about that. I mean, obviously I'm thinking there's some pretty big perfectionism here, but I was, that was my thought. But then I was just like, well, what? Because, you know, on a totally objective, like it seems okay to cancel a client call if you're not feeling well, but I could feel, you know, Lisa, you're just, you know, it felt like real turmoil to me. And
yeah. So this is great. So it, like in our session today, we were focusing on the befriend your fear process, right? But what you're bringing up is important. And this is like what are the things that I love about coaching is it can go in so many different directions, right? So like, we could have used rewiring negative thought pattern tools for this. We could have used myth of perfection tools for this. We could use possible self-sabotage tools for this or shadow, right? So, it's great to have, which we'll all get more and more of this like full toolbox, and then see what wants to be used here.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I just pipe in one thing just around that? Is I was supposed to be okay by now, and I'm still not okay. So that's another, just to throw more into it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, our expectations. And I'm going to sign off, but I do want to ask about body memory. That was already so, because I love doing that with clients. And you taught me like hug over the, you know, midline and hug. But I just am curious if you have more to offer around like, how does one create a body memory? And I have to get my dog to the dog walker, so I will be listening.
So the way that I usually see it is, we can feel a feeling in our body, and then we want to make a body memory of it. And we don't even have to do like a full process of this, right? Like, you know, we could be in conversation with a client and they can talk about a project or whatever, you know, how will it feel when you've accomplished that, right? Or why is it that you want to do this, right? They might get to the why, and how does that why feel in your body, right? and I feel this fluttering in my heart, you know, make a body memory of that. Let that motivate you when things get hard, right? When you hit obstacles in the road. So for me, the body memory is associating a feeling in the body to something that we can come back to as a touch point to help us get through a hard moment, or come back to as a practice, or motivate us, or remind us of our why, etc. Great. Linda.
Hi, Joanna. So I was a little curious as to what I felt was resistance to seeing if this was a fit for the befriend your fear process. When, you know, that I felt that you'd like, that you weren't sure, you weren't sure, you weren't sure, you weren't sure, you weren't sure. And so, I mean, fear is fear, right? I mean, it's like, what was going through your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll share. So part of it is just like the pressure of coaching in this way.
Yeah. Being on the gut.
Right?
Yeah.
So part of it is like my energetics, right? In the beginning, we're a little like, right, want to, you know, like do the right thing.
And also you forgetting your genius in that moment, but go ahead. Yeah.
But it's such a great example of energetics, right? How it's so important. But all that being said, I think the like more substantial piece in it is when Lisa first brought it up, I wasn't sure if it was a fear that had been with her for a while, or if it was truly purely new and situational because of this new trauma of COVID that we have in our lives. It's a little bit more difficult to do a befriend your fear process if it's not historic in any way. I was banking on the fact, like I decided let's go ahead and do this, because I felt anyway I would, even if I stumbled and there wasn't something historic there, I'd be able to model how to just support being with it in the body and what that would unlock or help regulate, or you know, whatever it is. But at the same time, like that was the question going through my mind, like, is this historic or is this really situational and totally new because of COVID? Does that make sense?
Yes. But what would be different if it was situational and new? I mean, it's still the same process, right?
I've never been presented with that before. So I don't know. I was in it with all of you. I was on the journey. I'm not sure.
Thanks so much for answering, Joanna.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is like, we have the fears that we have inside of us, they have come, I don't know the inside and outs of psyches, I don't know that anybody does, but there's like a historic, there's oftentimes a history to it, right? In one way or another, something happened at a point in our lives that whether it looked like a trauma or not on the outside, it put our system into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, right? And that's the whole alarm system situation. Now, we can have current things that are new that put us into that as well, which is, you know, which I guess why this could work. In my experience, there's always a historical tie back. And so I just wasn't sure in this case. Yeah. Thanks for asking the question. It's good to articulate too. And I'll pause before the rest of the other raised hands, because I feel like there's more, maybe some more wisdom on this in the group too. Like, what is this sparking for all of you? What is it that you want to add or on this particular topic? Anyone have anything to add on it? Yeah, Lisa, go ahead.
I don't think I would have let you go ahead if I didn't sense there was something there.
Yeah, so I can feel that too. That's like I asked twice and you kept on saying like, there's fear. There's, I'm like, okay, yeah. we'll do it.
I do want to say, Sonia said something about the fear. Why didn't I use befriending your fear? I didn't know till this morning, the that there was a fear component. Like, I wasn't afraid up here at all. I was like, oh, look, read the data, you know, this. Yeah. And it wasn't literally till this morning that I said, wow, there is a huge fear thing going on. And so when I got here, I was like, oh my God, like, this is why I'm here. So
I love it. I love it. And what Lisa, what you just shared is the difference between resistance and fear, right? Sometimes we have to help our clients. The resistance isn't data and blah, 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 right? And all the things. And then coming to that fear place and being, seeing it as such is different. Good. Anything else before I get to the other raised hands, like on this topic that that Linda is bringing up? No. Okay. Oh, Linda, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I just what I noticed going through me is that your uncertainty was affecting me, you know, like my confidence and I notice, okay, well, you're not sure. But wait a minute, this is the process. But wait, fear is fear. And Lisa feels really sure that it's a thing. And so I was watching, I noticed I was having doubts, just doubt creeping.
Energy follows energy. Yeah. I mean, when we went into it, I was
then it was
testing out to make the decision once I decided, okay, we'll go with this.
Then, yeah.
I was in it. But yeah, I wasn't sure. In the beginning.
Yeah. But I'm so grateful that, yeah, we talked about it. Thanks.
Yeah. No, thank you for bringing it up. Sonia. You there, Sonia?
Hi.
Hi.
I do have a question, but I'm also struggling with the fierce fear. Because I think that's potentially dangerous, because I don't think fear is fear. And if there is, if one doesn't know how to work with a triggered person or somebody with PTSD, then that can be dangerous. And I'm just an awareness. But my question is...
Let's pause on that. So first of all, if we didn't drop it yet into the member center, I had said it should be there today or tomorrow, on just being trauma informed. So there are a couple of tools and tips there that are, you know, that will help with that. And then the other piece that's important to note is that in the dialogue, we never went in to the memory of the trauma. So, and that's just important for all of us to note, right? So I didn't say to Lisa, okay, so in that moment with your father, you know, X, Y, Z. And this is important for, and I don't even know if you were asking this, but it's just giving me opportunity to share this, Sonia. So just bear with me for a moment because it's important. There is always the risk, right? Like, as I was sharing last time, we're butting up against it, but it may not even be in this process, right? So I don't know, maybe this will be a good metaphor and then we'll bring it back to coaching. So I did this bike ride over the weekend and I was with my father-in-law and he is in very good shape. He's in his late 70s. He's in very good shape. Has done the Virginia Creeper recently, all the things, rides a bike, all the things. He got on the bike and before we even really took off, he fell. And he wasn't injured at all. He didn't have any bruises, he didn't hit his head, he wasn't bleeding. Like, he fell as if I would have fallen off. There was a bump, right, when we started. The trail shouldn't have started until like 30 feet later. It wasn't really something to ride a bike over. But anyway, he fell and he's generally an incredibly patient person. And we had all decided we were gonna do this ride together and all the things. We hung out for a few minutes. He decided he was good to go. And then he just took off on his bike, and he went so fast, and he, like, didn't even wait for the rest of us. And at first I was like, he's just doing his thing. But then I started to get anxious, because I'm like, why isn't he stopping at all? Like, I can't even see him in the distance. And I realized in that moment, even though we weren't doing, like, there, it was a trauma response. He was in fight. You know, he knows he's getting older. I think he has some fears around that. And this simple falling off the bike, which any one of us could have, really, it could have happened to me too. It triggered that trauma for him. And then I started thinking about it as a coaching session. Like, so here's the client off and running. I didn't even realize, right? Like, a trauma got triggered. Like, what would I do in this situation? And I worked hard to catch up with him and then slowed him down. You know, like, we stopped and we kind of, like, as much as one can do with one's father-in-law, I was not giving him a coaching session at all, but just like, oh, let's take a break. And, you know, like, what happened, and, you know, whatever. And then we continued on. But the reason why I'm sharing this story is because this is part of the risk of, even if you're not working somatically at all, like, having conversation, focused conversations in sacred containers with other people, something could get triggered and we may not even recognize it as such. Right? I'm not saying this to scare anyone at all. And there are tools that can help us mitigate, or, like, be able to hold the space should it happen, like having really solid containers with our clients. If you noticed, I asked Lisa, is it okay to close your eyes? Taking it really slowly. Connecting into how she was feeling. If at any point in that process she would have said, I can't feel my feet, or I feel like I'm flying away, or, you know, like, where it was a sign of that, we would have done something to bring her back into her body. But there is, so anyway, it can happen regardless, right? And then when we do this work, I just lost my thought. Oh, there is an element of, we don't want to go into any traumas in that way, but we have to understand that we're butting up against it subtly, just a little bit. And that's actually what helps build resilience. That helps what builds the comfort with the discomfort, if done in a tight container. But I know that's not what you were asking, so you know, it just gave me opportunity to share some thoughts on that. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, my question is, so I loved when she said there's no shame in weakness, how you repeated that once or twice. That was so beautiful and that felt very rich. And then asked her to locate that in her body, you know, the somatic awareness and the programming it for later. I also noticed that I would have gone straight to facting there. And I would—
Wait, to what? I didn't hear.
Facting.
To fact, I didn't hear you say.
Facting, like, you know, there is no human being who's never weak.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
yes,
this is normal and this happens to everybody. And I just wanted to repeat from you. I know you covered this before, but maybe I need it another time because I'm still going through those moments.
No, it's a great question. So, okay, so first, the repeating back, right? There's no shame. That is one way of creating, one of our creating awareness skills, right? Just reflecting back. So whether it's regular conversation or dialogue with the body, it just, in my work with clients in general, when somebody says something important, I'm going to slow that moment down. I'm going to pause on it. I'm going to reflect it back. And sometimes I'll even say, even if we're not doing a body dialogue or whatever, I'll say, can you take that in, or take a moment and take that truth in, take it into your body, right? So that's, because remember, one way of creating awareness isn't just like new things all the time, right? But it's like a deeper integration of what the client just said or already knew. right? But taking it deeper. We tend to fall into this trap of like the way to transformation is always like only new information, but like 70% of the time it's just like integrating what we already know, right? Now, in terms of the facting, I'm so glad that you're bringing that up. In the dialogue with the body, because it's somatic and I'm focusing less on activating cognitive and focusing more on activating heart, body, I'm not going to go into facting because that's mental. That's great for afterwards or whatever, but it's going to take the client out of their body and back into where most of us are our strongest and where we feel safest, which is in our minds. Yeah, great question.
I had a similar observation just around pacing and reassurance. I have done one of these visioning sessions with you or befriend your fear sessions with you. And after every like larger question or just, you know, every 30 seconds or so, you checking in with the client saying you're doing really well, keep going, like that as the client is extremely powerful. And it was really helpful now to be on the other side to observe that. And you continuously saying that, because I think visioning in the body, especially in front of an audience, can be challenging to stay with it because your brain does want to take over because that's the space a lot of us are comfortable in. And so just reminding them to stay with it, to stay with it, you're doing really well. Was just powerful. And you could see Lisa like agreeing and like continuing to go deeper.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're pulling that out. That's another like little tool in here, right? And part of holding that container, you're doing well, right? Because we go into like, I'm not doing it the right way. It's not working, right? All of that. So providing that reflection and that feedback. And then even, did you all notice when Lisa had that one memory come up of when she was younger and her father, and she's like, I'm not sure and whatever. And I'm like, don't think about, you know, it could be like, right, to just get out of that judgment and just stick, let's keep on going, right? Like, let's be in this space. Good. Heather.
I think you probably answered my question. I just wanted to say thanks to Lisa first. It was really great to share that with you. And many positive vibes for continued healing. Lisa had mentioned at one point, and I don't remember where in the session it was now, but she had mentioned that she felt like maybe she had done something in order to contract COVID. And I was just curious if you didn't follow that thread because it wasn't actually serving befriending your fear. If that would have been something
a little bit, right? A little bit, I was making decisions because I wanted to model that process. But I would have, if it did end up coming back into the dialogue with the shame piece, if it hadn't, I may have either pulled it into the dialogue or pulled it into the conversation after the dialogue as okay. Well.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no, great. I'm glad you caught that. And that's important. Good. Who else? What else did you observe? What else did you see? What would you have done differently? What do you have questions on? Lisa, you go ahead.
I just want to respond to what Heather just said. I actually think that would have been very helpful for me because it was something I did need to kind of get off my chest, you know, like I feel like I'm walking around with a C on my chest. So I'm sure many people do. And so to your point, yeah, like I think that is caught up in my fear. Are people going to see me as a leper? You know, are people going to not want to be with me? So yeah, I think there was a lot there, Heather. Thank you for that.
Beautiful. And so that's another place you can lean into even more, Lisa, in your journaling too. Good. Who else? What else wants to be shared, spoken, asked? Don't be shy. You all have so much wisdom.
Sharon.
Yeah. Well, like everyone else, just thank you, Lisa, for being so vulnerable and so willing. And I'm so sorry that you've been sick. Just a couple of things, which I put in the chat, you know, one of them being that that I should be better by now piece is so huge. And I know, I feel like, especially in the wellness community, there's almost this sense of we should never get sick. We should never have issues. And as someone who's dealt for decades, since I'm a teenager, with sinus and allergy issues that are sometimes not a big deal. And sometimes I am really sick and I am doing all the things and I'm still sick. I mean, I've come to peace with it. I don't like it, but yeah, so there is that. So I really honor that place that you went, which is so huge. And then the other, I just wanted to point out, which I also put in the chat, of, you know, that way that you did, Joanna, of pulling out and repeating back and slowing down of, you know, there's nothing bad about how you, I don't remember the exact words, or there's no shame in not being well, because there's such a tendency I notice in so many people I work with, and I probably do it myself, of jumping over quickly and not really taking in. So that slowing down and repeating back of something that could either, you know, somebody could either go, well, that's just common sense, or, well, everybody knows that, or, you know, I already knew that. It's like, but that's part of the helping with the embodiment piece. It's really important.
Yeah, 100%. The pacing is a big piece, you know, in the container in general, even not in this process, right? But just, we've seen this even before in other model coaching that we've looked at. We don't have to rush through. We can make time expand and actually get more done by slowing down. It's not about, and I know this is what everybody said, but there's just another way of saying it. Like, it's not about getting more and more stuff. It's about really receiving what comes through. And I love what you said, Sharon, is like, that's part of the somatic tool, right? Of
it, really is. And also and this is part of the energetics aspect, but the energy to pick up on, wow, that was something that really needs to be put a spotlight on, have a spotlight on it. Yes. And the repeating back, because it would have been easy to maybe move past that, to, especially something that seems kind of simple, or like I picked up on that you were, you know, it was a double negative and you were kind of trying to have her reframe that one. I really got that the way she said it the first time, the double negative was actually very powerful.
Agree. And that's something, like, if I could do something different, that's a place. So that's back into the head, right? Like, and that's why it didn't work. If we were having a regular conversation out of the dialogue, that may have been helpful, but that's why that didn't, like, really yield much, because it was going back.
But then it did get her to the shame.
The shame. Yeah, it did. No, it did. That is true.
Yeah. Thank you. Good.
Okay. I'm aware that we have just a minute left. I'm going to take the last hands up, and also Anika, I'm going to read also what you've got in the chat. So Wendy.
Thank you. And again, Lisa, thank you for showing up in that vulnerable way and for, you know, letting us witness this process with you. And again, I hope you feel so much better soon. Yeah. So what I noticed, Joanna, is when you were working on the working with her about the shame, you had a really long pause at the spot. Like, I thought, oh, this is going on forever. Like, my mind is racing. So, you know, I have to be conscious about slowing down and taking pauses. But this was probably three times longer than the other pauses. I just wonder if that was conscious or if you want to go into more on that.
Yeah, it's a great noticing that. And it's similar to what we've been talking about. Like that to me felt everything that was coming through was important, but this piece about the shame, I could remember part of listening skills is listening to our clients and then listening to what that elicits inside of us and doing that dance. And when she said that, I could feel that that was a place to lean into even more, right? And part of that is also because most of us are used to feeling what our shame feels like, but not used to feeling what I don't have to feel shame, right? Like there is no shame, right? So I really wanted to provide that space for her to feel into that.
Yeah, thank you.
Good. Okay, I know we're at time. Elijah, is what you shared in the chat? Wait, let me just ask you. Is what you shared in the chat? Yeah. Right, so this is important what Elijah is sharing or pulling out. So we went into some strategizing afterwards, after step three, after the dialogue. I asked her about next steps and I also asked what would happen, what would it like for you to do? Oh, this was actually during the dialogue, if you do go into fear, right? Because this is what we all know as practitioners from our experience, it's not once and done, persistence and consistence. Right? Breakthrough different than transformation. The fear is going to, at some point, like throughout the day or the next code, whatever it is, it'll come up. So what's the plan, right? And then we followed up on that strategizing in the conversation. Okay, and then Anika is asking in the chat, what if the client did want to talk about the memory, even if it was trauma reliving? Do we go there as a coach or simply redirect? Does this diminish her need for being seen? It's such a great question. So if a client would want to talk about it, I would not do it in a somatic process. You know, I might let her know, okay, we'll pause on that. You know, we may just pause on the process there. Or I'd say like, we can come back to that later. Before, you know, if she like, obviously I would know a little bit what it's about because she would have mentioned it at the dialogue. If it feels like something, and you know, it's so hard with trauma because sometimes the smallest thing like falling off a bike when we're six can cause just as big of a trauma as some other things that seem bigger on the outside. But I might ask her, like, if it was something that had to do with abuse, for example, I might ask, like, have you spoken to a professional about this before? Where is this completely new? Did this memory just come up for the first time? I would want to get some more information to see, like, where the client was with it and how regulated they were in their system in terms of like how they looked at this before. And if it was something completely new, for example, or if I felt that like it was something that was, they hadn't worked through much, you know, as of yet, I may not even in conversation go too much into it. And I would just share with them, this is outside of my scope. You know, and I really like, I see you for having gone through this. I'm so happy that this has come up. I'm so glad that you're sharing this with me. I know that this is important. And then I would refer out to talk about that piece. Now that's for me personally, because that's not in my scope and that's where I feel comfortable with it. If it comes up and the client has worked through it and you know, like they've been with it and it is clear that they can speak about it and they want to speak to it, then absolutely 100% I will. Okay. So much today. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, Lisa, especially. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Sending you all a ton of love.
Thank you.
Sharon, I'll take your question. Yeah. Oh, did you have a question? Oh, okay. I'm sending you all a ton of love.
Hopefully sending Reiki to Lisa.
And hopefully I'll see some of you tomorrow for our Q&A. Have a wonderful rest of your day.